So, like Aaron was saying, our whole theme for the week, Operation Arctic, of course, but what we were looking at through the week was specifically about one thing in particular. Does anybody, kids, what was our theme through the week? Jamie? The Bible! Air high five, Jamie. Bam! Come on! Air high five! You left me hanging! Bam! All right, it's like, all right, if I must. You must. My air high five, man. Okay. So, the Bible. Thank you, Jamie. So we've been covering the Bible. Like Aaron said, a lot of our content was coming right out of Psalm 119. And interestingly, this wasn't planned, but we've been going through our summer series here at Riverside, going through Summer in the Psalms. And we've been working our way through, and we've been doing this for several summers now, not just this summer. But last week, we ended with chapter 118, which brings us right to Psalm 119 today. Usually, on our VBS Sunday, we take a break through whatever series we're in to talk about our VBS, but we get to keep going through our Summer in the Psalms and continue in our theme in VBS and cover part of chapter 119. Don't worry, we're not going to do it all today, because it's 176 verses, right? Longest chapter in the Bible. We're not going to do it all today, but we're going to definitely get into some of it here this morning, at least start it off. So turn with me to Psalm 119. Hopefully you have your Bibles. And we're going to get into the first few verses of it here this morning. Now, Psalm 119, like I said, it's the longest of the chapters, not only in Psalms, but the longest chapter in the Bible, which is really interesting because, like I said, the whole theme of Psalm 119 pretty much is about the Bible. And it's instilling into us the value of God's Word. So they take the longest chapter in the Bible to say how wonderful the Bible is. And today we're going to talk a little bit about the blessings and the benefits from being in God's Word. The Word's effect in our own lives. Somebody said that the basic theme of Psalm 119 is the practical use of the Word of God in the life of the believer. Now, throughout Psalm 119, we're going to see many words that are used in reference to the Bible. Of course, the word Bible wasn't around during the Bible times, so the authors never wrote about the Bible, but they would use several different words to relate to God's Word, what we have today as the Bible. They would say, they would use words like the law of God, God's instruction that was passed down to man. So the law, when it's used, and it's used 25 times here in the book, in chapter 119, the law is used in reference to the Word of God. We also see terms like the Word used 24 times. Judgments are used 23 times. Testimonies used another 23 times. Commandments and statutes, precepts. And then a different Hebrew word for word, which is a little bit different than the other word used. And so these are all used interchangeably to talk about the Bible, the Word. And so there are some that say that every verse in Psalm 119 references or speaks about the Word of God, and with a few minor exceptions, of course. There's a few verses that aren't going to be, but some scholars have said about 171 verses of the 176 all reference the Word of God, reminding us how wonderful, how good, and what a blessing the Word of God is for us. Another very interesting thing, guys, about Chapter 119, longest chapter in the Bible, but it's written as an acrostic. An acrostic was a type of Hebrew poetry. And what they do, and we see in other chapters in Psalms written that way, where they would take each line of that chapter and start it with that letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Then the next line was the next Hebrew letter. Well, in chapter 119, what they've done is they've broken this up into 22 sections. There's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. So they've made 22 sections in the book, in chapter 119. And each section is the next corresponding Hebrew letter. And each line of that section starts with that Hebrew letter that it's referencing. And so some of your Bibles might even have it broken down that way, with each 8 verses being a new section and starting with, titled under that Hebrew letter. So in my Bible, I've got Aleph. And then the next one is Beth. And then verse 17, the third section is Gimel. These are the Hebrew letters in their alphabet. And so 22 sections in this chapter. And so we're going to get in just to a little bit here today. And then next Sunday, we're going to start to move through a little bit quicker and take about 3 Sundays after this Sunday to get through chapter 119. But it says there right at the beginning, blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. Now, right off the bat in this chapter, we see the blessing that comes to those who choose to live, how? According to the word of God. The undefiled that are in the way. In the way of what? Just in the way? No, it's in the way of the Lord. They're walking in the right way, and the right way is the way according to the word of God. This is what the Bible is saying. Blessed is that person. Now, that word blessed in the Hebrew language simply means to, it speaks of being happy. It's the satisfied life. The blessed person is the happy one, the joyful one, the one that's living in satisfaction because they're living life according to God's way. How many people love to be happy? All right, that's good. Some of you are wondering, how can I be more happy? There are people in this world that are living with the pursuit of simply happiness. That's their life's goal. I just want to be happy. I just want to be satisfied. I want to be content. And you see, the way that many people are doing that is a way that's contrary to blessing and happiness. Many people are thinking, if I live my life where I kind of bend the rules, if I break the rules a little bit, that's how I'm going to be happy and satisfied. I've got to push the envelope. I've got to cross the line a little bit. I've got to flirt with, you know, what is wrong in order for me to be happy. And yet the Bible says, paints a completely different picture. The blessed one, the happy one, is the one that's walking according to God's word, who is undefiled in the way. That word undefiled means blameless. Now, some of you are going, oh man, now you've just lost me. There's no way I can achieve that. We're not talking about blameless in the way of being sinless. When the Bible speaks of blamelessness, it's speaking of living a life where you are devoted to the Lord, where you're undivided in your devotion to the Lord. In other words, you're not saying, well, I'm going to go to church on Sunday. I'm going to worship the Lord, but then through the week, I'm going to just go ahead and do what I want. I'm going to live my own way. I'm just going to, you know, do what I want. And then Sunday, I mean, back at church, everything will be fine. That's not living blameless, because people are going to have a lot of, they're going to say, man, that life is very contradictory. It's hypocritical. You're doing this one day and then that another day. To be blameless means that there's no fault. There's nothing that is divided in your focus or your attention and devotion to the Lord, you see. And so blessed are those that say, I'm all in for Jesus. I want to live for the Lord. I want to live according to his word. Blessed is that person who walks in the law of the Lord, who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. That's the idea. Seeking him with the whole heart. See, God wants you to be happy. God wants you to be blessed, to experience joy in him. And that's why he's given us his word, you see, to lay out for us the way that we're going to be satisfied and blessed. Are you walking in the word of God? To do so means that you know it. Are you spending time with it? Do you memorize it? There's something beneficial that comes from a mind and a heart that's given over to the word of God, that seeks to place the word of God in their heart and in their mind. There's a man from the 19th century, his name is John Ruskin. John Ruskin wasn't a theologian or a minister, but he grew up in a home where his mom said, I want to teach you and instill in you the importance of God's word. So I want you to memorize scripture. So she made her son memorize many passages of scriptures, many chapters through the book of Psalms. And then when he got to Psalm 119, he's like, oh, mom, no, please don't make me memorize this chapter. But of course he memorized it. And this is what he said later on in his life. He said, it is strange that of all the pieces of the Bible which my mother taught me, that which cost me most to learn and which was to my childish mind chiefly repulsive. Yeah, the 119th Psalm, it has now become of all the most precious to me in its overflowing and glorious passion of love for the law of God. says, this is just overflowing in me, this joyfulness and passion for the importance and the blessing of God's word. Memorize Psalm 119. There's great blessing that comes for us as we memorize scripture, but it's not just about memorizing scripture so we can walk around and sound very holy, like, how much scripture do you know? Well, I think I know more. Here's some of it. And we start passing on like we're trying to brag or boast in what we know. It's not about boasting what we know. It's about living it out. It's not about just memorizing and knowing it. It's about living it out. That's what Jesus said. In fact, this is one of our, you kids, this is one of our memory verses from this week, right? Jesus himself said in Matthew 7, verse 24, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and what, kids? Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. Thank you, Dylan. Air high five back there, buddy. Air high five, Dylan. Here it comes. Bam. All right. Thank you, buddy. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. In other words, Jesus is saying, listen, it's great to know. You got to know it, but you got to live it out. You got to do it. You can't do it unless you know it. But if you know it, you need to live it out. You need to do it. That's exactly right. That's what Jesus is instructing, what he's saying. And so we read next here in verse 3 of the action that comes now from knowing scripture. It says there in verse 3, they also do know iniquity. They walk in his ways. See that action word? They do. They do know iniquity. Here's the benefits that come from knowing God's word. You know, the reason so many people are not experiencing the blessing of God is because of a little issue that we call sin. It's not so much of a little issue. It's a pretty big issue. But the reason that there are people in this world that aren't enjoying the blessing of God, they're not enjoying a life of happiness and joy, it's because of sin. They're allowing sin to take root in their lives and to dominate their lives. And they're thinking that if I live in sin, that's what's going to aid me in having fun and in experiencing blessing. If I can just do what I want, then that's what's going to be good. But the Bible says, man, those that follow the word of God, they do know iniquity. They walk in his ways. And it's that life that God says, I'm able to bless. I'm able to pour out my love, my blessing, and joy upon them. Sin is going to rob you of that joy of the Lord. Sin is going to rob you from God's best. Listen, sin is not bad because it's forbidden. Sin is forbidden because it's bad. God knows sin is going to hold you back. Sin is going to get in the way of you experiencing ultimate blessing in me. Sin is going to destroy. God understands that. So he says, have nothing to do with sin. God's not a killjoy where he's trying to test you and say, stay away from sin. I'm going to just test you on that. Some people think, we're being kept from something that's really going to help us live life. That's not the case. Sin is forbidden because it's bad. God says, I don't want you to get hurt or destroyed. I want you to experience ultimate life. And that's going to come through living a life of obedience to my word, you see. So those that are following God's word, there's action that comes from it. They do know iniquity. They walk in his ways. Verse 4, you commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. See, this is not just some wish that God puts on us. Says, hey, you know what? Why don't you guys give this a try? I've laid out a few things for you. Why don't you just, see how it goes for you? Give it a try. If you don't like it, hey, money back guarantee. No problem. This isn't some wish that God is laying out for us. The psalmist says, you have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. God doesn't just hope his word is obeyed. He intends it to be. And like I said, obedience is linked to blessing. So may we keep his precepts, his word, diligently and be wholehearted in that. Verse 5 says, oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. Notice that from verse 4 and on now through most of this chapter, the psalmist turns from just, talking about the word to talking to the God of the word. He moves from just talking about the word of God to talking to the God of the word. And he moves into this intimate time of personal prayer and praise to God. It's not some theological treatise alone here where he's talking about the word. It is interaction with a worshiper and the living God. And his prayer here is that he would keep his statutes, that he would keep God's statutes, his word. He's looking to the Lord to provide help and strength in that. And we have to remember that his commandments are not burdensome, right? Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. There's not some heavy burden that the Lord, where this person's like, oh man, just help me. God says, the word says in 1 John 5:3 that his commandments are not burdensome. God's not laid a heavy on us. God's not intending to weigh us down and hurt us. He's saying, this is the way that you're going to be free to really enjoy life now by following me. So the psalmist says, I know the benefits that come from this. I know the blessing that is intended for me. So help me to live this out. The psalmist goes, I don't want to stray. I don't want to get off course because I know this is the path that leads to blessing. So help me to stay focused on keeping your statutes. Let's be sure we're not putting unnecessary burdens on ourselves. Sometimes what we do is, and I love this, the psalmist says, you know, help me to keep your commands, right? Help me to keep your commandments, your statutes. This isn't something that, sometimes what we do is we put unnecessary burdens on ourselves by going beyond what God has intended for us, going beyond what the Word of God says. We start to say, oh, you can't do that. Oh, you're going there. Oh, I would never do that. Oh, no. And we put heavy burdens on ourselves and on others sometimes that go beyond the Word of God. The psalmist is simply saying, keep me, oh, that my ways are directed to keep your statutes. Not my statutes, not my commands, but your commands, God. And your commandments are not burdensome. Let's not be putting a heavy burden on ourselves or on others. And when we're directed to follow his word obediently, we don't need to feel ashamed. Like he says in verse 6, then I would not be ashamed. Isn't that good to know that God doesn't want us to be shamed or ashamed? You see, when we get into the Word of God, we begin to see what God has done for us. We begin to see that there's nothing we could do in and of ourselves to be right with God. We were in a condition of sin where we were, in a sense, far from God, separated from God. And we could have felt shame in that, and we should feel shame because of that. But God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross, to take the penalty for our sin, to forgive us, and to replace our sin with his righteousness so that we could be in a right standing with God so that we don't need to be ashamed. And when we get into the Word of God, we begin to see what God has done for us so that we can stand confidently, securely in the Lord, to know that nothing will separate us from the love of God. So we can begin to say, I don't need to be ashamed at his coming. The Bible says in 1 John 2:28, and now little children abide in him that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. That comes through abiding in the Lord and abiding in his word. And not just abiding in the Lord and his word, but living it out. So we can say, man, I've not gone my own way. I followed your way, Lord. And I know that when you come again, I don't need to be ashamed. I don't need to be worried because I'm in you, Jesus. And there's confidence in that. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. If God is for us, who can be against us, you see? There's great confidence as we open up the Word of God and begin to see what it says to us. We're not going to be reading the Bible and all of a sudden saying, what? That's in the Bible? Oh man, I just broke that 3 times yesterday. Oh my goodness. No, we're in the Bible. We begin to see what he has for us, but what he's done for us as well. We can have great confidence and there's joy and blessing that comes in that as well. Verse 7 says, I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. See, when we recognize what the word says and how we receive salvation, that again, Jesus has done the work for us, then it leads to just praise and joy towards the Lord. I will praise you, it says in verse 7, with uprightness of heart. When I learn your righteous judgments, again, to learn that we're made righteous not by us living right, but by Jesus' righteous life. And by us simply putting our faith and trust in him and the work he did for us, that we're made right, suddenly we're like, oh, thank you, God. And we just turn to praise. It's a natural byproduct when we begin to see what God has done for us. It leads us to praise and to greater thanks and to just walking in the blessing he has for us. These are his righteous judgments towards us. So I'll keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. Again, as we read through the word, we begin to see that God is for us. And that Hebrews 13:5 says that he will never leave us nor forsake us. We don't need to ask or don't forsake us. He's already told us in his word, he will never leave us nor forsake us. If we're abiding in Christ and abiding in his word, We don't have to walk with any kind of fear or worry. We can have that assurance of salvation, assurance that God is with us, that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Now, the writer here didn't understand the fullness of grace as he wrote this here, but we can know that in a greater way. The grace that's been intended for us, the salvation that's been given to us free of charge. It's by grace you've been saved through faith. Not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. We have nothing to boast in ourselves, but we boast in the Lord. And we give praise to the Lord because he's done the work for us. It's a work of grace. The Bible lays that out for us. So as we get into the word, we begin to go, oh, thank you, God. And we praise him for what he's done for us. Now, a life lived according to the word of God should look different than your average fare, right? So the psalmist relates to us now some of the byproducts, again, that come out of a life lived according to the word of God. Look at what we read in verse 9 as we move to that next section now, that next Hebrew letter, Beth. It says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. This is great here. If you like to underline your Bibles, underline right there. Now, in this day and age that we live in, it's become increasingly hard to maintain any kind of level of purity or a walk of holiness. Sometimes we just say, oh, what's the point? But yet, the psalmist says, it was no different that day. They're still wondering then, how can a young man cleanse his way? There was still struggle going on in that day, but the psalmist lays out for us some great things to do to walk in purity, to have that cleansing agent, and it's through the word of God, by taking heed according to your word. The compass or gauge of modesty and purity has drastically changed in our culture, but one thing that has never changed is the word of God. And it's still that guide for us. It's still that compass of morality that says, this is what I want to live by. And when we live according to the word of God, then it aids us in walking in a clean way, in a pure way. And to take heed, again, is not just to hear, but to obey the word. As the psalmist says, he sought after the Lord with his whole heart there. Verse 10, my whole heart I have sought you. He knew the blessing that came when he pursued the Lord and his word with everything that he had. Have we taken into account the incredible blessing that we have in searching through the word and the wonderful effect it has on us? If we truly know the goodness that comes from a life that's lived according to the Bible, then we'd pray earnestly as well, let me not wander from it, as he says here. Let me not wander from it. And one way we're not going to easily wander from it is by, again, putting it in our heart. It's one thing to get into the Word of God, but we want to get the Word of God into our heart, right? And we want to see this lived out in our lives. Again, it's more than just, you know, having scripture memory. That's a good thing, and I promote that, memorizing scripture. But this means that this is getting into my very heart, the very core of who I am, that it's just kind of like pumping through my veins, that it is just driving me in everything that I do. It's directing me, you see. Getting the word of God into your heart. I want the word of God to be pumping through my veins and for me just to live accordingly. Someone has wisely said the best book in the world is the Bible. The best place to put it is in the heart. And the best reason for putting it there is that it saves us from sinning against God. And that's exactly what the word of God will do in our lives. Psalmist goes on to say, blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. The psalmist is kind of pausing now just to give praise. He's like, blessed are you, Lord. Not only are we blessed, as it says earlier, by following the word of God, but all blessing be to you, God, because you've given us your word. You've spoken to us through your word. And the psalmist just stops to give thanks and praise to the Lord for what he's done here. I pray that we're doing the same. We know that he's the father of all good gifts, that all blessing. He's the source of all blessing. And as we praise him, we ourselves are being blessed in the process. And he says next to teach me your statutes. Now, some people inevitably get discouraged from reading the Bible because they say, it's too hard to understand. I'm not getting anything out of it. And so they just put it aside. Have you ever heard anybody say that? Oh, I can't understand it. There's no point. And they just put it aside. Maybe some of you said that in the past. But you know, we've been given the greatest teacher of all to help us in the Word. I know you're all thinking, I'm talking about myself here. I'm not talking about myself. Even though I know you're all thinking, yeah, we know, Brent, but you don't have to brag about it. No, I'm not talking about me. Jesus himself said, well, let me read here, John 14:6. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I said to you. Do you understand that we've not been left alone here to try to figure things out ourselves? He's given us the Holy Spirit to allow the Word of God to begin to be made plain. Oh, through human eyes, yeah, we may struggle, but we've been given spiritual eyes through the Holy Spirit to understand God's Word. And I pray that as you open up the Word each and every day, that you're praying, help me to understand your Word. Teach me. Pray that the Holy Spirit would just begin to illuminate, to make sense of this Word and apply it to your heart that you might live it out that day. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. To teach you these things. To make sense of the Word of God. And as we open up the Word of God, man, we just get to hear from the Lord. This is, you know, so many people are just wanting to know the will of God. Just to hear from, oh, if the Lord can just speak to me. Well, the greatest way the Lord is going to speak to you today is through His Word. And so may we open up the Word of God. May we see the blessing that comes from it. Look at what the psalmist says next, verse 13. With my lips, I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. Think about that. The psalmist is like, man, I've highly valued your word. I have seen this as greater than all the riches I could ever consume. They say that for those that were involved in the gold rush days, it was the hunt that was as exciting as the find. Just the thrill of hunting for, mining for that gold that just was an adrenaline rush. We need to recognize the gold mine that we're sitting on here with the Word of God. And we need to be excited just for the opportunity of mining through the Word of God. And I guarantee you, as you faithfully dig into God's Word and you pray for the Holy Spirit to begin to illuminate your eyes to receive its truth, you're going to strike gold. You're going to hit truths and nuggets that just speak to you, that just relate to you, where it's just clearly God speaking right into your heart. There's going to be great value, and it's something worth more than all the riches that we could ever achieve. Proverbs chapter 2, Proverbs 3 speak about just searching for these truths as for silver and gold. But it's a greater find because it's one that doesn't perish. It's one that doesn't lose value. It has eternal value for us. This is the Word of God. This is God speaking to you and to me. And as you dive into it, you are going to be blessed as you do. God's going to speak to you. This is what this whole chapter is about. He ends here. We're going to end with these last two verses, verse 15 and 16. It says, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Psalmist says, so this is greater than all riches. So I'm going to meditate on your word. Now that idea of meditate biblically is not to empty your mind as we've made meditation today for a lot of people. You know, just having my meditation time where you're just emptying your mind of everything. That's not the biblical form of meditation. To meditate biblically means that you're filling your mind with what is right and with what is good. And to meditate means that, and it kind of comes from this idea of a cow chewing his cud. To meditate means that you fill your mind, and what does he say here? I will meditate on your precepts. I will not forget your word. What that idea is, as you fill your mind with the Word of God, you begin to go about your day. And you just meditate on it. You're just thinking about it. And you're just like that cow chewing the cud. You just begin to regurgitate those things. You just bring it back up, right? The cow eats that food, digests it, and then he brings it back up, right? He starts chewing. I was like, there's some more goods in there for me. I'm getting some more nutrients out of that. Swallowed that too quickly. Here's some more goods for me. That's what we do is we meditate on the Word. We take the Word in and throughout the day we begin just to mull it over. We begin to turn it over and go, oh man, that's, you know, I didn't really get anything out of it this morning when I read it, but now as I'm meditating on it, the Lord's speaking to me through it. The Lord is reminding me of these truths that I read earlier. And we're meditating, and we're receiving something out of it throughout the day. To meditate on it, to contemplate your ways, just to think about it, to fill your mind with these things. That's what the psalmist does. And what does he say? I delight myself in your statutes, in your law, in your word. I delight myself in these things because he's seeing the value it has for him. The strength it gives. You know that as we get into the word of God, Jesus himself says that man doesn't live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Do you understand? It's like daily bread to us. The word of God here is going to nourish you. It's going to feed you. It's going to strengthen you. I want every day that I wake up just to get into the word of God. I love to get into my bowl of cereal in the morning. But even more, I want to get into the word of God and let that feed me and nourish me. I pray that we're doing that and that we're seeing the value that comes as we do. May you delight in God's word, because there's great blessing and benefit that is for us as we get into it, as we allow the word of God to shape us, to direct us, to lead us. This is God's heart for you. Kids, what did we learn? Letter L in our week this week at VBS. Letter L represented what? Letter of love. This is God's letter of love for you. It's his heart expressed to you. Imagine if a king wrote a letter to you. He'd be framing that up on the wall. He'd be like, oh my God, look at the king. Somebody of royalty wrote this to me. We've got the God of the universe who's written a love letter for us to express his heart to us. May we cherish this. May we not want to let a day go by where we haven't gotten into the word of God to allow the word of God to get into us and direct us and lead us. May you delight in it like this psalmist is. And as we go through this chapter, I pray that we grow in just the joy of being in the word of God and allowing it to bless us, to make us just joyful people as we get in the word. We're going to pray. I'm going to invite Pastor Randy to come up and just give us some instructions and announcements for the rest of our day. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this awesome time that we've been able to have today sharing about VBS. And as we spent this past week talking about the importance and the value and the blessing of the Bible, I pray that all of us here at Riverside would see the value of your word. Thank you that you've given it to us freely and that we can in freedom open it up and read it and cherish it. And I pray that we do. And I ask that you would speak to us, Lord, this week, that we would take time, set aside time to be in your word, and that we would hear from you. You'd speak to us. You would direct us through your word, that we would live it out and see the blessing and the benefits that come as we faithfully live it out. So lead us now in these things. We ask in your name, Jesus. Amen.